Parshas Vayetze is largely about sheep. It says that Yaakov runs. He runs to Charan. First thing he does is he goes to the well. He asks, "Anybody know anything about Lavan?" So he sees the shepherds are coming out. They're coming out to Shlosha Edrei Tzon, three flocks of sheep. He asks them, "What do you know about Lavan?" So they tell him. They tell him Rachel's coming. Rachel is the shepherdess tending Lavan's sheep. He asks them why aren't they watering the sheep. He explains that they have to get together to undo the rock from the top of the well so they can water the sheep. He does it for them. And then he goes back to Rachel. He goes to Lavan, and so on. They keep talking about the sheep. It says
he does it on his own.
He takes off the stone on his own. Yes.
So these elbows have great strength. It seems that they could do what five guys could do. They would move the stone.
That is what it looks like. Yeah.
Other stories like that too. Moshe did the same thing. Right?
Yep. He helped the daughters of Midian, the daughters of Yisro. Yes. So it says that when Yaakov got there, he began helping Lavan with the sheep. It says he took the sheep for 7 years, married Rachel, married Leah. He took the sheep for another 7 years. Then he worked 6 years with the sheep for a portion of the sheep. The elaborate story about how Lavan kept on changing the terms of the deal. Then eventually Yaakov runs away, takes the sheep with him. Lavan catches up with him, etc. And then so on. The next parsha, actually the whole Chumash Bereishis involves sheep on and off throughout the end of the parsha, beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Part of the present that Yaakov sends Esav is sheep. Parshas Vayeshev, it says that Yosef's brothers are tending their father's sheep, and Yaakov sends Yosef to go check on them, and that's how the whole story of going down to Mitzrayim starts. When they finally get down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov comes down, and Paro asks them, what do you do for a living? They say that we're Roei Tzon, we're Anshei Mikneh, we take care of sheep. Then Parsha Shmos begins with sheep. It says that Moshe, after he ran away and ran to Midian, had the story with helping the daughters of Midian. It says he began tending his father's sheep, his father-in-law's sheep in Midian. A lot of sheep in these parshas, from here all the way through Parsha Shmos. Elsewhere in Tanakh, sheep and shepherding is a big metaphor. Mizmor LeDavid, Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, the entire Psalm 23, is all about a metaphor of shepherds and sheep. Sheep and shepherds is a big deal in Tanakh, I think it's fair to say. Now, what is the significance of shepherding and sheep? Why is it important? Why do we find that so many of the great biblical figures were involved with sheep? Dovid HaMelech, it says that when Shmuel came to appoint him king and to take him he went from being a shepherd to being a king. Also, the Torah emphasizes that he was, when you have to go look for him, he was out with the sheep, he was taking care of sheep. So the Midrashim and various commentators raise the question, why is sheep so significant? Why was this kind of a signature occupation of great biblical figures? There are different ideas that are said. One popular idea, Rabbeinu Bachya and other commentators say, is that to grow spiritually, to develop as a Navi, as a servant of God, it helps to be away from people. People are distracting. When you're around people too much, it can lead to machlokas and strife and lashon hara and gossip and slander. Sometimes you can do better just by yourself out there with nothing but the sky and the sheep. Some commentators stress that you can look at the sky, it can bring you to realization of God, just you and the stars under the sky, no people, no civilization, leads you to think about creation, lead you to think about the Creator, his bodhidus, meditation, isolation. You can just sit there and do philosophy or spirituality or Torah, whatever you need to do out there among the sheep and the stars. That's one idea you find among various commentators, that being a shepherd is a good occupation because it takes you away from the vanity of the world and it's just you and the creation and God. There's another idea which I think is probably more famous. Another idea which appears in a Medrash Rabban Shmos. It says the Medrash makes this observation to a limited extent that God put several leaders through a kind of training course as being shepherds before they eventually became great leaders. One of them is Moshe, one of them is Dovid HaMelech. So with regard to Moshe, it brings a very, very popular, much beloved little story. It says that Moshe was tending the sheep. He saw a little lamb or a little kid run away from the flock, and he chased it down. And eventually he caught up with it. He saw it reached a stream and started to drink. So Moshe felt so bad for the poor little lamb. He said, oh, you're thirsty. I didn't realize. You must be hungry too, and you must be tired, he said. So he picked up the lamb, and he carried it on his back to where it had to go. And Hashem said, oh, I see. I said, you, Moshe, you are so compassionate and so considerate of the flock of sheep. So too, you'll be a great leader. You'll be compassionate and considerate of Tzion Yisrael, of my flock, the Jewish people. And that's how he became a great leader. David HaMelech. Also, the Medrash says that David HaMelech, when he, the Mar Dash of the Pasuk, we Mechlos Atzon, it says that David knew that the older sheep can eat any kind of grass, the delicate grass and the tough grass. The younger sheep, teeth are not so developed, and the jaw is not so developed, I guess. They needed only the more delicate grass. So David knew that if he took all the sheep out at once, the big sheep would gobble up the good stuff. There'd be nothing left of the poor sheep. This way, he took the poor sheep, the little sheep out first. They could eat they could have their choice. They could eat the tender stuff that they needed. And then he brought out the big sheep who could eat anything. So David had a very, very careful, very thoughtful way of giving each sheep what he needed. So Hashem said, good, you'll make a good leader of my sheep, the Jewish people. You'll make a great king, a great leader of the Jewish people. So the Medrash is emphasizing that a shepherd, being a shepherd, is a kind of training course, is being kind of practice for leadership of men, leadership of a community that has different types of people with different needs. You can be compassionate. You can make sure they all get what they need. Now, I always felt, maybe this is being a little cynical, I always felt a little uncomfortable with this idea. It's true, a shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep. A shepherd's job is to take care of the sheep because they make money for the owner of the sheep, his own sheep or other people's sheep. You eat the sheep, or I guess you can share them and get wool while they're alive. You don't have to kill them right away. But a shepherd is all about making money for himself or his boss.
Commerce.
A shepherd, in using modern language, a shepherd would basically be a fiduciary of the owner of the sheep, usually. He's responsible to make sure that the object's entrusted to his care. He has a duty, that there's been a reliance placed upon him, and that's his job. And indeed, in our Pasha, Pasha's Vayetze, that's what Yaakov emphasizes. When Yaakov talks about what a good job he did as a shepherd, Yaakov is not saying, my heart bleeds for the welfare of the animals. Yaakov's point, yes, he says that he did push himself very, very hard to take care of the sheep, but he says, I did that for you, Lavan. Yaakov's outburst, his angry denunciation of Lavan's unfairness, was Lavan accused him of being a thief, and Yaakov says, don't you realize how hard I work for you? He says, Yaakov tells Lavan, I've been with you for 20 years. I didn't eat your animals. I didn't bring you any write-offs, any dead animals, any animals that were casualties of the field. If there were, I paid for him. You can ask it of me. I paid for every sheep that didn't survive. Anything that was stolen during the day, during the night. I was with the sheep during the day, achalani chorev, and day it was really hot. The sun beats down on you in the desert, and the burning sun. Vekerach balayla, at night it gets cold, even in the desert, it's freezing at night, frost at night. Vatidad shnasi me'enai, and I didn't sleep at night. I'm so busy taking care of your sheep. Yaakov's point is not that I care so much about sheep, that I care for the poor sheep that I did this. Yaakov's point is, I am a trustworthy fiduciary. I tried so hard to make sure that you. I tried so hard to make sure that you had all your sheep intact. Yaakov's point is Choshen Mishpat. His point is that in my financial dealings with you, I have been honest, and I have. So that's really what the point of the shepherd is. He has a job he has a duty of care to the owner of the sheep to make sure that he acts in his best interest. It's not necessarily about, you have these science fiction stories where the aliens control the earth and they treat the humans very nicely, and then the humans find out to their horror that when they grow up, the aliens eat them. I mean, it's true, they take care of you while you're fattening you up for the slaughter. That's not what we think of as a faithful shepherd who we want for a leader of men. But nevertheless, the Medrash understands that, I guess besides the fact that they were working for somebody else, the Medrash understands that in addition to that, they also did care about the sheep. As we've discussed in the past, there is a value of Tzar Balei Chayim, and there is a value to not cause unnecessary distress to animals. I guess in addition to their job to secure the financial interest of the owners of the sheep, they also cared about the sheep. They also did their best insofar as it was consistent, I guess, with their basic responsibility, fiduciary responsibility to the owner of the sheep. They also, I guess you can say, did try.
There are many professions like that, like medical doctors, they work for a hospital, they have to make profit for a hospital, but at the same time they have to be compassionate with their patients,
right.
Lawyers.
That's fair, yeah. That's fair. So sometimes when you hire a doctor, the doctor works for you, but like you're saying, if a doctor works for a hospital, then you might have a certain conflict between...
Yeah, also an HMO, if you're working for an HMO, they're trained to give just enough... But not too much.
Right. My wife told me about a case when she was studying legal ethics. She tells me about a case where they give you this hypothetical example. A customer of the insurance company that you work for, you're a lawyer, you work for an insurance company, one of your clients gets involved in an accident. So your company hires a doctor to examine him and see how badly hurt he is. And while they do the examination, they turn up that he has an unknown, undiscovered brain aneurysm that can burst at any time. Nothing to do with accident. They discover an unrelated problem. And the question is, do you tell the patient this or not? Your company commissioned the exam. Do you tell them? The problem is, if you tell them, it might be harder for the settlement, and they might hold out for more money or something, even though it's not your fault, you're not responsible for it. But if you tell them that, it can hold up getting the matter resolved quickly and simply. And the answer apparently is that under your ethics as a lawyer, you are not allowed to tell them. Your duty is to your company. Your duty is to preserve your company's financial interest, and therefore you're not supposed to tell. The fact that what
the doctor,
the lawyer, the lawyer who hired the guy. I'm not sure what the doctor's ethics are. A different chapter. I'm not sure, but as a lawyer, your ethical duty is first and foremost to your company, even when it might conflict with some other poor innocent guy. So yeah, you will have problems where your fiduciary duties conflict. You know, that's what ethics are all about, and these types of conflicts. But what you would do exactly in a case where the interests of the poor sheep are not the interests of the owner, you want to invest extra time taking care of the sheep and make the sheep happier, but it won't. It's time that could otherwise be used in ways that are more productive and more useful for the owner, and that'll be a good question. What are you supposed to do? But in any event, that's the goal of taking care of sheep, as discussed in the Pasha. That's Yaakov's point, that I was a faithful shepherd. Incidentally, when I was preparing for this talk, faithful shepherd, good shepherd, are common expressions in Christianity and Judaism. I was unable to track down what the classic, what the earliest source for the expression faithful shepherd is. A portion of the Zohar is called the Raya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd. I don't actually know where that phrase comes from. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, there is a whole discussion of Jesus says he's the good shepherd, and he talks about that. But I don't know, in the Torah and in our tradition, I'm not actually sure where the expression good shepherd or faithful shepherd comes from. That is Yaakov's point, although he doesn't use the word good shepherd. But Yaakov's point is that I have been very faithful. I have been very faithful to you, Lavan. I have not, I have not betrayed my trust. I've acted honestly and above board as much as anybody possibly could.
What about when he actually tries to influence the outcome of the sheep by putting the twigs in the...
So that's an important question. Yaakov's behavior when he had this deal with Lavan, that he would get sheep of a certain color or a certain type of coat, and he and Yaakov made, as Phil was saying, Yaakov made this... cunning stratagem involving branches and peeled branches to influence the... That's a good question, exactly what he was doing scientifically and how that was allowed, halakhically, ethically. At that point, it was a profit-sharing arrangement. He would continue to work, and at this point, the first 14 years, he worked for the women, for Rachel and Leah. The last 6 years, he worked for a profit-sharing arrangement. I'll keep a certain percentage of the sheep, and you'll get the rest. And the way they determined the profit was by how the colors would be, and then Yaakov then was trying to maximize, manipulate the outcome so that more of the sheep would be born with colors that favored him and fewer. So the ethics of that, it's an interesting question. I'm not going to get into that. I guess that was within the rules of the game. You can do whatever. Because he had more sheep, you mean?
Otherwise, he wouldn't have made any loss for...
Well, it depends. If you assume that the new crop of sheep is 1,000 sheep a year, and Yaakov was causing 750 of them to be his colors and only 250 Lavan's instead of the natural distribution of 500-500, I think that's what Phil is asking about. That if naturally, let's say brown was Yaakov's color 1 year, so if under normal chance distribution, only 250 would be brown, and Yaakov manipulated for 750, then it's a zero-sum game. There are only 1,000. Yeah, if he made more sheep be born, then that would be 10 of the Lachas, right? Yeah. Those are good questions. Yeah, there are miracles involved, possibly. Those are good questions. I'm not going to go there today. Today I'm just going to focus on the question of the fiduciary duties of the shepherds to preserve their employer's best interest. So Rav Aaron Cutler has a speech, a shmooze, in which he says, what I want to discuss now is the question of whether what Yaakov was saying, the length to which Yaakov went to preserve Lavan's interest, was this all something that he would have been obligated to do under Shulchan Aruch, or was he saying that he went above and beyond? It sounds like he was saying, I did extra, I did what I wasn't supposed to do necessarily. I look how honest I am, I went the extra mile to preserve your best interest. But actually, as we'll see, there's a surprising debate about this, about whether what Yaakov did was something he was everything was only that which he was obligated to do according to Shulchan Aruch, or whether what he was doing was beyond the bare minimum. So Rav Aaron Cutler says that he's talking about how pious Yaakov was, how he was always striving to develop and grow spiritually. So he says, first of all, there were great things going on in shepherding that we barely understand. I guess, you know, Kabbalistic things, philosophical things, spiritual things. I don't know what that's all about. But then he says, "Hayilo dinim she'enam nimtzayim b'chashan mishpat." Some of what Yaakov did are things that we do not find in chashan mishpat. For example, "Hayisi b'yom machalani charev v'kerak b'alayla v'tidash nasi me'enai," staying up at night and getting burned in the sun, getting burned in the sun during the day. That pasuk, getting frostbitten at night, not sleeping. Says Rav Aaron, "Ban hagus ka'elu ein sachar chayev." This extreme level of devotion, of dedication, is above and beyond what a normal employee is obligated to do. And he quotes a Gemara in Bava Metzia, which says that these types of practices are called tirusa yiserta, are called extra care, extra level of care, which the strict halacha does not require of an employee. Now it turns out, however, if we examine the Gemara, it's actually a very controversial matter whether these things Yaakov did were required under normative Shulchan Aruch or not. The Gemara basically goes as follows. The Gemara starts with a story. It says that a couple of variations in this case. It says that there was a shepherd who was taking care of sheep, and the sheep were milling around kind of in an unorganized group, and one of them jostled another one and pushed one into the water, and the one that fell in drowned. Another case, they were crossing a bridge, and one of them pushed the other one into the water, and the one that fell in drowned. So there was a question whether the shepherd was liable to the owner of the sheep, he was a hired shepherd, whether he was liable to the owner of the sheep for the one that fell in. So, negligence, exactly, right. So the question is, what was he supposed to do? I mean, there's a lot of sheep here. He can't, you know, carry each sheep himself. What's he supposed to do? What more could he have done? If the sheep banged into each other, then it's an unfortunate accident. Well, what do you want from this guy? So the Gemara says, there's a question, Hayilo lavure chad chad. If he organized the sheep in a single file row, everything, you know, really careful, everything goes in one at a time, then there wouldn't be all this pushing and there wouldn't be any falling in. Now the problem is, it's very difficult and inconvenient to do. To run your sheep like that, would require an enormous amount of time or effort or inconvenience. We're asking a lot of somebody to actually, I haven't actually tended sheep, but apparently it's a difficult and cumbersome thing to do. So the Gemara has a debate going back and forth for an Amud of Gemara, whether that is something that a shomer, that a shepherd who's working for someone else is obligated to do or not. So at one point, the Gemara calls it the Tirusa Yiserta, an extra level of care. So the Gemara debates whether an ordinary shomer is obligated to undertake this extra level of care. At one point, the Gemara introduces Yaakov. It says, we see that Yaakov prided himself that he did all these things. He went, this also seems to be the extra level of care, staying up at night and getting burned and frozen, getting exposed to the elements. This also seems to be an extra level of care. So you see that a shomer is obligated to do this extra level of care. The Gemara says, no, Yaakov was not obligated to do this. Yaakov was just saying, I did a few, even though I'm not obligated. I went the extra mile. I did more than I was obligated to do. Really, I would not have to do this. Really, a shomer does not have to engage in the tirusa yiserta. A shomer need not do this extraordinary level of care. Yaakov did it anyway.
That's a conclusion because it's stated in the Torah? I mean,
well,
the fact that it's in the Torah means that it's extraordinary.
No, the language of the Torah is ambiguous. The initial position of the Gemara is that it was mandatory. But in order to defend the position of the opinion that says that a shomer does not need to do this, the Gemara is willing to interpret differently that these were extra credit, but he was not actually mechuyav. Then the Gemara goes on. The conclusion of the Gemara is, that it depends whether the shomer is a shomer chinam or a shomer tzachah. We know in the basic framework of the laws of shomerim, of beilis, of people who take care of other people's money, in the Torah there are four types of shomer. They are the shomer chinam, the shomer tzachah, the socher, and the shoah. The four basic categories of responsibility for other people's money. A shomer chinam means someone who watches without getting paid. He had just as a favor, he agrees to watch someone's stuff. You know, here, watch my book while I go to the bathroom for a minute. That's a shomer chinam. You're getting nothing from it. He has the lowest level of responsibility. He's only obligated in gross negligence, nothing beyond that. Then there is the middle category includes the two cases of shomer sachar and socher. A shomer sachar is someone who watches and is paid to watch. Someone who's hired to watch, like a watchman of a store or something, someone whose job is to watch, and he gets paid to watch it. This also includes, for many purposes, any employee in general who's, you give your suit into a dry cleaner, you're not paying him to watch your suit, but you're paying him to do the job. Then, since he is getting paid, he has the status of a shomer tzachar also. Anytime you entrust your property to somebody else and he's getting paid for his services, whether it's for the watching itself or for a job related to the watching, that's a shomer tzachar. He's chayev not just for gross negligence, he's also chayev for theft and loss, which are considered maybe some level of negligence, but not gross negligence. So he has a greater degree of liability. He's chayev for those two. But he's not chayev for a case of onus. If lightning hits, if a fire breaks out, if an earthquake comes and destroys the property, he's not chayev. The third and highest category is shoel, someone who borrows something. If you rent it, you're in the middle category. A renter or a shomer tzachar is all in the same category, that you have this middle degree of liability. You're chayev for negligence and for gneva, for theft, and for aveda, for loss, but not for onus, not for earthquakes and fires and armed robbery and stuff like that. Ordinary theft, yes. Burglary, yes, but not armed robbery. And again, the third degree, the highest degree of responsibility is the shoel, the borrower, who has use of the property. He's not paying for it. It's being given to him as a favor to use. Because of that, because he's getting to use the property and he's not paying for it, he has the highest level of liability. He's chayev for everything, pretty much, even for onsim, even for things that are not his fault. He's chayev anyway, with certain limited exceptions, which we're not going to discuss right now. So he has the highest level of responsibility. So this Gemara...
What is the show?
Borrower.
Oh, borrower.
Borrower. Right. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia concludes regarding this case of the shepherd. Is he responsible? Is he really responsible to take the animals across single file, this very cumbersome, very tedious process? The Gemara says, if he's getting paid, then he is chayef. The principle is he has a higher level of responsibility. We call it Tirusa Yiserta. And the rule is that the owner, his boss, can tell him, that's why I pay you. I pay you because part of the reason I pay you is because you're going to be responsible to have a higher level of responsibility. Because I pay you, your liability and responsibility shoots up, and now you're chayef even for this heightened level of responsibility. So, and that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that a shomer tzachar, someone getting paid like a shepherd, does have a heightened level of responsibility. So now we have to go back to the beginning of the Gemara. When the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu did something, which was the Tirusa Yiserta, which was something that an ordinary shomer chinam wouldn't have to do, so initially the Gemara said, you're right, Yaakov didn't have to do it. It was just an extraordinary level above and beyond the call of duty. But now that the Gemara says in the Maskana that a shomer tzachar, someone getting paid, is obligated in this heightened level of responsibility and care, now we have to ask ourselves, Yaakov Avinu was getting paid. He was taking a percentage, at least during, he was getting the women, he was getting the colored sheep. So at that point, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, do we say that what Yaakov did was actually something he was obligated to Meikra Din or not? So the Shulchan Aruch still, as Rav Aaron says, Shulchan Aruch does not bring this level of care as something that even a paid shepherd is mechuyev to do. Shulchan Aruch makes no mention of this. And indeed, in the Shilta Rav Achai, one of the earliest works of Halacha, post-Talmud, one of the Gaonic works, he explicitly rules, Halacha Lamaisa, that he actually rules that he is mechuyev to do this. Even though the Shulchan Aruch does not bring this Halacha that a paid shepherd would have to do what Yaakov Avinu did, the Shilta disagrees. The Shilta says that, disagrees with Rav Aaron and says, yes, actually, a paid shomer would have to do what Yaakov did. He says that if he's a Shomer Sachar, the Sheltus wrote, on every parsha, the Sheltus wrote several, two or three essays, kind of, halachic material that were relevant to that parsha. So one of his essays on Parshas Vayetze concerns the laws of Shomrim, the halachas of Shomrim, which, you know, could have been on Mishpatim, which is where the legal sections of Shomrim are. But he chose to write this essay on Parshas Vayetze, where Yaakov describes his activity as a Shomer.
The things that Yaakov is claiming that he's doing was to get sunburned and to lose sleep. One could argue that by nature of the work, the job of a shepherd, you're going to have to be outside. You're going to have to be able to absorb some sun. If need be, you can put on a big hat.
Right.
If it's cold at night and you can't sleep, so, it's like a cowboy. I mean, that's part of the nature of the job.
Yeah. So Phil is raising an excellent point, which I was trying to figure out as I was preparing the material, and I don't have a full answer to that, which is there's no question that if the job explicitly stipulates a certain level of care, then that level of care is required. Contracting parties in most of the Choshen Mishpat, certainly in the laws of workers and the laws of baileys and fiduciaries, certainly the parties have the right to stipulate what exactly they expect of each other, both the level of care and the level of liability. That's explicit halachas in Shulchan Aruch, that they have the right to do that. Now, it would seem that a shepherd, a shepherd was a fairly standard occupation, as we discussed, it's all over the Torah. It would seem that these arrangements were fairly common and it was fairly clear what was expected of the Shomer, whether the minhag, the halachic term of our here is minhag, prevailing custom. It would seem the minhag should have been pretty clear whether the shepherd was or was not expected to do that. So that is, if it would be an unusual arrangement, a unique arrangement, we could say there is no standard minhag, so then we can discuss in a vacuum how much halacha requires. In the case where the occupation was a pretty conventional one, it would seem the halacha ought to be pretty clear about what level of care, the convention should have been pretty clear about what level of care is required. But I don't have a really good answer for that question, so I don't know. But nevertheless, the Gemara and the Poskim do discuss in a vacuum whether this extra level of care is required. Rav Aaron says not. The Sheiltus says yes. The Sheiltus.
What is the extra level of care we're talking about?
So the language of the Sheiltus is Ubay lemesiv bahadal and turu b'imamo v'leilya. The shepherd, the shomer, the bailey, has to remain with the property, with the sheep, day and night. B'imamo v'leilya. D'hachi ashkan b'Yaakov avinu d'amar leil lavan atrinan la'anach b'imamo v'leilya. Yaakov told Lavan ha'isi b'yom. I stayed with the sheep round the clock, 24 hours a day, when it was cold, when it was hot.
That's
part of the job. And the Sheiltus therefore rules that this is the obligation of a paid worker. Again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring this. Rav Aaron says this was the Fimashur Adin, but the Sheiltus says that it is required Meikra Adin.
There has to be some sort of a common standard for it's not the maybe not as much as something coming. It seems to me that the deal is not between the owner it's a custom. I draw out the gather together to get the water machine at the same time. So
right. So Sid is raising a couple of good points. You know, the second point is similar to what Phil was saying, that at some point there's a framework imposed on the arrangement by the prevailing custom, which is similar to what Sid was saying, that there are standard expectations of what the job entails. And the previous point Sid makes is that at some point it's impossible. At some point you cannot stay awake for indefinitely, and the human beings just can't do that, no matter how much coffee you take. At the end of the day, you can't sleep, you can't stay up for years without sleeping. And the truth is, when the poskim discuss the laws of Shomrim, they explicitly make this point. They say Shina is an onus. Maybe it's not an onus after staying up for one day. You know, I could pull one all-nighter, but at some point, sleep becomes an onus. And that actually is a major debate, whether a Shomer Sachar, we mentioned earlier, a Shomer Sachar, a hired shepherd, is chayev for Gneiv and Aveda, for Natura Siyaserta, for Gneiv and Aveda, for extra levels of care. There is, but not usually for an onus, not for earthquakes, not for fires. There is actually a debate, though, when it comes to theft, which is one of the categories the Torah says he is chaya for. there is a debate about gneva's onus. Gneva, if something happened that's an onus gomer, a type of theft which you took all conceivable precautions, you did best practices, everything that could have conceivably been done, you did. Nevertheless, some incredibly sneaky crook managed to break in and take it. There was nothing more we could possibly have asked of you to do. There is actually some debate about whether the Torah was mechayev you or not. Some poskim say no. Some rishonim say no, it's not your fault. I did everything I possibly could have. Other rishonim say it doesn't matter. That there are always two elements to a shomer. One element is an ab initio l'chatchila, an obligation to do what I can to take care of the sheep. A second element is liability. If something goes wrong, you have liability for making the owner whole, for paying him what he lost. Now, just as in law also, you can have liability without it being your fault. Everyone agrees, for example, in halacha, when it comes to a shoel, a borrower, even if things happen that were completely not his fault, an earthquake comes, he's chayev, because there is such a thing as a chiyav onsim. By the mere fact that you were a shoel, you borrowed it, or that you're a shomer sachar, and you got paid for it according to some rishonim, even though he's not chayav for regular onsim when he gives a shomer sachar, but gneva, the onus of the particular category of theft, some poskim say you're chayav for, not because we're upset at you because you should have done more, because you have what the law calls strict liability no matter what, regardless of any fault. That's the halacha. So some of the discussion of the shiltas could be whether you're chayiv if something happened when you're not there, even though physically you can't be there and awake around the clock. The question is, do we still hold you liable for things that happen when you're not there? So there are shitas that say a shomer sachar has strict liability, that he's chayiv for things that happen, even though being there would have required nearly impossible or even impossible efforts. It doesn't matter, a shomer sachar may still have that sort of strict liability. Now, the Chasam Sofer makes a related point. As we just noted, there are two aspects to the responsibilities of a shomer. There is l'chatchila, his job is to take care of the sheep and do a good job. The second aspect is if anything goes wrong, then he has responsibility to pay for it. So what if the shomer decides to say, look, I'm getting paid to watch a sheep, no problem, I'll treat it like insurance. I'll be responsible, I'll make you whole, any loss to the sheep, I'll pay for it. In the meantime, don't bother me. I want to take a nap. If anything goes wrong, you have my address, I'm good for the money, I'll put money in escrow, no problem. You'll get the money, not a problem. Just in the meantime, don't bug me. Let me do it how I want. You're guaranteed to be paid for the sheep. Don't tell me what to do.
It's buying like an insurance.
Right, that's the question.
Rather than a service.
That's exactly the question, right. Do we look at shomer as insurance, or as a service, or as some kind of hybrid of both of them? So the Chasam Sofer says, what was Yaakov talking? Yaakov said two things. Yaakov said, "Treifa lo hevesi, I didn't give you any treifas, any dead animals. I didn't give you any anochi achatena. I paid for it. Mioni tivakshena. I paid for every animal that was missing." Then he said, "I stayed up all night." So ask the Chasam Sofer, what was the point? Once Yaakov was paying, what's he boasting? I stayed up all night. I mean, it was for his own benefit. Once he's paying for all the sheep, staying up all night is simply for his own self-interest. He shouldn't have any lost sheep that he has to pay for. Once he's paying for all the lost sheep, what was the additional thing he was telling Lavan? I also stayed up late, and I also stayed up all night in the freezing cold to watch your sheep. So the Chasam Sofer says, because the shomer involves both things. It involves insurance. If anything goes wrong, you have to pay for it. But you're not allowed to rely on that. L'chatchila, you have an additional duty to take care of the sheep. And both duties apply. You're responsible up front to take care of the sheep. And B, even after the fact, if anything goes wrong, you're responsible to pay for them. And both of them are part of the duties of a shomer. We actually have a very interesting dispute, halacha l'maisa, among the poskim. A couple of variations of the question. One variation is, let's say the shomer is completely irresponsible. He takes naps, he just runs into town, he goes drinking with his buddies, abandons the sheep, he's all day long they're running around and wild by themselves.
And nothing happens.
Nothing happens, right. Nothing happens. So obviously he's not liable to pay for the sheep. The sheep are all here. The question is, can the owner demand a refund for the services? The owner says, I'm paying you $20 an hour to watch the sheep. You didn't do anything, so why should I pay you? The shepherd says, look, if anything would have gone wrong, I was responsible for the sheep. I would have had to write you a check for the full value of the sheep. I took responsibility, it was my liability. Treat me as an insurer. When you buy insurance, nothing goes wrong, you don't get your money back. You pay the money. The insurance company, their job is not to watch the sheep for you, the insurance company is to pay you if anything goes wrong, but they don't spend time watching your property. So who's right? Is he entitled to his money if he didn't watch or not? So here we have Machlok Zachron. Some Achronim say fine. You know, that the shepherd is right. He was paid to assume liability. He had liability. Lucky for him, nothing went wrong. He's entitled to his money. Other poskim say no. As we saw in the Chasam Sofer, part of the job of a shomer is to actually do the watching. He's like a worker. He's like a service provider. And if he doesn't do his job, he's not entitled to get paid. So this is actually a machlok sachronim. Rick Veger articulates both these possibilities. Are we paying him for the assumption of liability, or are we paying him for the service of watching the sheep? Rick Veger says we have a couple of nafkaminas, a couple of cases where... Right, so onus, as we said, in most cases, the shomer sachar is not chayav for onus, except maybe gneva, the category of gneva, if theft occurred by onus, maybe he's chayav. So if so, then certainly there is an element of liability. The question is still, do we assume that the salary is for the liability or for the service or both? Right, so Rick Veger has a couple of nafkaminas, one of them, a couple of other nafkaminas. One of them is the case I just mentioned that he didn't work. He just... He didn't work, so I'm not a worker. I don't get paid as a worker, but I should get paid because I had liability. Another case, kind of a very closely related case conceptually, is let's say the shepherd didn't work, and unfortunately the sheep were stolen. People walked off with the sheep. Animals came and ate the sheep. Now the shomer is liable. The shepherd has to pay the value of the sheep. So let's say, for example, his fee for the day would have been $100. The sheep were taken, $1,000 worth of sheep were stolen. So it's his fault. He was grossly negligent, not just in Tzusi Yisarta, he was completely negligent, he's chayev, so he has to write a check to the owner for $1,000. Now the question is, can the shepherd turn around and say, look, okay, I'm paying you the $1,000, but at least pay me the $100 that you owe me. So just like an insurance company, I'll make the payout, I'll pay you whatever you owe, but offset that, take off from that the premium that you should have paid me. And the owner says, why should I do that? You didn't do the work. You didn't work. So A, you're negligible, and A, you're negligent, and you're liable for the loss, and B, you're a worker who didn't work. You don't get paid. So here again, we have a machloka. Some achronim say, the Kseres HaChoshen, for example, says the owner is right. He doesn't pay him a penny because he didn't do his job, and he's liable for negligence, so he has to pay the full $1,000, doesn't get to offset anything for the work. Other achronim say no. At least insofar as he's paying for the loss of the sheep, he shouldn't have any further expense. He should at least get paid for the contracted sum, and therefore he can use that to offset. He can use that to offset the money that he's going to have to pay. Here we actually have an additional machlokas. This is a very, very complex and very subtle point, but it has broad ramifications all over halacha. Anytime in Choshen Mishpat, I have liability to you, and I pay you for causing you some kind of loss, but had I not done what I did, and you wouldn't have had the loss, you would have had offsetting expenses. Now I saved you from those expenses. So to use a concrete case, I saw a case by one contemporary Choshen Mishpat expert. He has the following very interesting scenario. Let's say Reuven has a job. He's gainfully employed. Shimon comes along and injures Reuven, personal injury, in such a way that Reuven can't work. So Reuven misses a week's wages. Halacha is Shimon, the perpetrator, is chayav to pay Reuven for the lost wages. That's called sheves. It's one of the five categories of personal injury in the Torah. Shimon has to pay Reuven for the lost wages for the week. Now, the question is as follows. I don't know what the law would be in the United States. This comes out of Israel, modern Israel. The question is, in Israel, you pay income tax on salary, on money that you make as a under gainful employment, you pay income tax. But as personal injury compensation, you don't pay income tax, even compensation that was paid for lost wages. I have no idea if that's the law in the United States. That was the law in Israel. So had he worked, and let's say he gets $1,000 a week. Had he worked and made his $1,000, he would have gotten gross revenues of $1,000, but he would have had to pay $250 to the meches, to the tax authorities. Now that he was knocked out for a week, he didn't get his $1,000. Well, making the perpetrator pay him that money. How much does he have to pay? Does he have to pay a full $1,000? Or can he say, look, had I given you the $1,000, had you worked and gotten $1,000, you would have only ended up with a net income of $750. So why should I pay you more than $750? So this type of question is a major dispute among the poskim. Another example is, let's say a farmer has a crop growing, but the crop is still immature. if the crop is tended and harvested at the end of the season, it will be worth $1,000 on the agricultural market. But Lamaisa, to bring the crop to that stage, there's going to be another $100 in costs from today until 2 months later, the end of the season. The cost of raising the crop, the cost of transporting it to market, and there'll be costs associated with bringing it to market. And right now, the crop is only worth $500. It's not yet fully mature. Someone goes along and burns down the field. Do we say, so now how much does he have to pay? So there is a sheet in the postcum that you owe the full $1,000, not just the $500 that it's worth today. We say that you have to pay the expected value of the crop at the end of the season. But now we have to ask ourselves, do you pay the full $1,000? Or can you say, look, had you raised it, had you tended the crop till market, you would have had $100 in expenses. So why should I pay you $1,000? Why should I pay you $1,000? I'll pay you $900. Or do we say, my expenses are not your business, you damaged the crop that would have brought in gross revenue of $1,000, that's how much you have to pay. So when it comes to these halachas of shomrim, here we have a very interesting machlokas. So the halacha clearly is, if the shepherd does his job, takes care of the sheep, they don't get stolen, then he's owed a day's wages of $100. He took off, went to sleep, he went to the bar, he didn't do his job, and $1,000 of sheep was stolen. So we said some posts can say you pay the full $1,000, and you're not entitled to get paid because you didn't do the work. Other posts can say no, that you get $100 because you accepted liability, so you get paid as an insurer for $100. But there's a third argument. Even if we accept the first position, even if we accept the position of the Ksos HaChoshen, that you really don't deserve to get paid because you didn't do any work, so you don't deserve to get paid. But some posts can say the shomer can still make the following argument. He can say, look, had I done my job, you would have had $1,000 worth of sheep, but you would have had a cost to pay me of $100. I didn't do my job, so you lost $1,000. That's true, but you save costs. You save the cost of not paying me $100. So at the end of the day, you would have only had a net asset value of $900 at the end of the day. So why should I pay you $1,000? These sheep would have only given you a net asset value of $900. Some posts can say, even if in principle the shomer deserves to forfeit the salary because he didn't do his job, at the end of the day he can still argue that I shouldn't have to pay you more than $900. And that's what some posts can rule. Similar question, let's say the shomer should have, the halacha is if a shomer can't take care of the sheep by himself, he's going to be overwhelmed by wolves, he's going to be overwhelmed by bandits. A shomer sachar in particular is mechuyev to hire guards to protect the sheep. He's mechuyev to go round up some muscle and pay them to help take care of the sheep. He's not mechuyev to lay out the money out of pocket. He has no such obligation. He basically hires protection and he bills the owner of the sheep for those costs. Let's say he doesn't do that. The halacha is, again, he's liable. Consider negligent, at least in the standard of a shomer sachar, he's negligent and he is chayev. So again, let's say the hired muscle would have cost $50. He didn't do it, so he saved the owner $50 but lost him $1,000 worth of sheep. So again, many posts can say that he owes $1,000 for the sheep, but he can deduct $50 because he can say, had I done my job, you would have had your $1,000 worth of sheep, but you would have had a liability of $50 to pay for the protection. So now, I mean, I was penny wise, pound foolish. I cost you $1,000, but I also saved you $50. So many posts can say I can deduct the $50 from the $1,000 that I have to pay you. So these are the basic points that a shomer has. A shomer has liability, a shomer chinam, only for gross negligence. A shomer sachar has heightened liability for natirusa yiserta. There's an argument whether staying up all night, this level of responsibility, strict liability, is included in natirusa yiserta or not. Some posts can say it is, some posts can say it isn't. And then we have a general question of whether a shomer is getting paid for the service as a poel, as a worker, for the work that he's doing, or is the shomer getting paid for the assumption of liability, or both. And as we've seen, there are several nafkaminas, several ramifications. A, there's the question of strict liability. Some posts can say that a shomer sachar does have strict liability even when he's not at fault, in which case clearly at least part of his responsibility is the liability itself. But going beyond that, there's a question, A, lechatchila, if he's willing to be responsible for negligence, does he have the right to not watch the animals also? And there the answer apparently is no. He does have, certainly lechatchila, a responsibility to watch the sheep and take care of the animals. But B, the question is, what is the payment for? Is the payment for the liability as insurance, or is the payment for the labor, the service of washing the sheep, or both. And again, the nafkamina is A, if something happened to the sheep and he's paying for it, does he get to deduct the fact that he's owed his premium or not? And B, if nothing happened, again, can he still collect the money as a premium, or does he forfeit the money because he didn't do the job? We should note, just to fill out the details here, there are certain cases where a shomer has no liability. Certain asset classes, for example, real estate, karka, or hektish, the special gzeres akasiv, there's no liability for a shomer for hektish. There, the halacha is explicitly, if the shomer is negligent, even though he's not going to pay, he has no liability because there's no shmira on hektish, he still will forfeit his pay. Here, there is no insurance, he's not liable, so here, there's no question, the Gemara says, that the payment is for the service, and here he will definitely forfeit his fee. On the other hand, if the shomer is not at fault, if it's stolen by armed robbery, then he will be entitled to his fees. If he did nothing wrong at all, and an earthquake came, or an armed robbers came and stole the property, there he will be entitled to his premium, because again, whether the payment is a premium, or whether the payment is as work, he did the work, he did everything he could. In those cases, he definitely is entitled to his wages. The only question is, where he did not do the work, where he was deliberately negligent, and either nothing happened or something happened, then there's some debate in the poskim about whether he's entitled to his fee and whether he can use it to offset the liability he has for the loss of the property.